Here's something to consider. Companies that embrace AI are 50% more likely to exceed their business goals. But let's be honest, most companies are still stuck wondering where to even begin. That's where today's guest comes in. Dr. Ali Jafarzia is a tech entrepreneur, strategist, and AI advisor who helps companies unlock value by applying artificial intelligence in a practical, ethical, and results-focused way. I'm your host, Chelsea Alves, and in today's episode, we're going to dive into what it really means to integrate AI into your business model, how to future-proof your career, and why the human side of innovation matters more than ever. Ali, welcome to the podcast. We're happy to have you today.
Hi, Chelsea. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
I am as well. Let's just get into it straight away. You have such a fascinating background in tech, policy, and entrepreneurship. What's your through line in the journey, and how did AI become such a key focus area for you?
Yeah, so the common thread in my journey has been the transformation through tech. So I started out in digital marketing and SEO as a content writer back in 2009, but as I work more with businesses with time, I've realized how AI could completely change the way we analyze data and personalize user experiences. And then the impact AI has. So when AI came around in 2020, 2021, the whole ChatGPT buzz, then I experimented more with tools like ChatGPT, Surfer SEO, Jasper, and then started automating content ideas and those testing. And I saw that it started saving time and increasing the quality of work. That was the time when I realized it's not a trend, it's a shift. And trends, they die, but shifts, we have to adapt. Otherwise, we die if we don't adapt to the shift. So since then, I have integrated AI into everything from campaign optimization to reporting to the client. For example, at my work, day-to-day job at a Strategic Connection, and in my own personal agency, we use AI to dynamically adjust ad copy based on real-time engagement data. And the results are amazing. And we can talk more about it during this podcast.
Yeah, I'm super excited to, you know, talk about how you're using AI. It seems like you're so well versed in it, so really excited to dive in further. You help companies, you know, adopt AI without feeling and getting overwhelmed. What's your framework for identifying where AI can make meaningful impact?
So, that's a very good question, and not all apples in the basket are the same, right? So not all companies go through the same processes and issues. But when I'm kind of like when analyzing what could work, what framework could work with some company, we start with an audit. We first analyze that, does this company or does this client need AI even or not? If there are any bottlenecks, if there are any issues, if there are any areas where things could get faster, processes could be solved, there are any repetitive ideas, yes, we map those areas and we match the AI tools to those areas. Then we train the team. We embed the AI tools, train the team on it, and we create the SOPs. And then when those SOPs are implemented, that's where the scaling part comes in. Then the team has to work on itself. It is automated. Then AI helps. AI does the work. And the team just has to follow the rules.
Yeah, that sounds like a very thorough process. And it kind of brings me to my next point. You know, there's a lot of hype in the AI space right now. A lot of people are interested in, taking advantage of this technology, but how can business leaders separate what's possible from what's actually useful for their business?
Yeah, so I always say that useful beats trendiness, right? So you have to analyze that. Is it useful for you, or are you just doing it for following the trend? Just because it's a tool and it's shiny and looks hot and you have to implement it, or if your competitor is doing it, that's why you want it in your company, that is not going to make sense. So here's what leaders or company heads should think like. Will implementing this AI tool or this AI whole AI framework, will this improve the speed of my work? And will this reduce the cost from A to Z of my processes? Will this improve the user experience of the end user? Because all these points, speed, cost, user experience, they correlate to the ROI. At the end of the day, it is just about increasing the ROI. It's about sales. It's about cash, right? So implementing something just because it's shiny and cool doesn't make sense. It has to bring in money or reduce the wastage of cost, right? For example, there was a company that we worked with, and the company liked a chatbot because they saw it on their competitor site, and they bought the license of that chatbot without informing us, just because they liked the idea. But they hadn't done the homework. There were no FAQs. There was no AI trained framework on that chatbot, but they bought the license. So then we had to come in and we had to do their consumer research, what they were searching for. We had to do the competitor research, what they were doing, and then had to lay out an FAQ framework, train the AI, and then embed those questions and answers in that chatbot. And then it started helping out the company. But just buying the chatbot license just because it's cool isn't the best way to go about it.
No, that's such a helpful example. And I'm glad you shared like something tangible that a lot of our guests today might have encountered or seen before. You're right. It does need to tie back to ROI. You don't want to just, emulate or copy your competitors simply because they're doing something. It needs to tie to wider business goals like sales or driving revenue, like you said.
Exactly.
So you've written about, the ethical use of AI. What responsibilities do founders and companies have when integrating these tools into their products and workflows?
Yes, I constantly write about this because I think it's a big deal these days. And with the emerging AI tech, it's evolving, and as it's getting into the layman hands, right? Its AI ethical implications must be tightened up. So as we know, with great ideas come great responsibilities. So companies who are implementing AI or who have implemented AI, they should be making sure that they are transparent in their companies with their team members. They should let their employees know that we have to be transparent in a sense that wherever we use AI in our chatbots or on our website or in email campaigns or when we are making social media content, whatever, we should mention that this is AI generated content. This is not real content. Don't think that this is real content. This is AI generated content. You are interacting with an AI bot. You are communicating with somebody which is not human. This is the transparency level we need right now. Because the level of fakeness we are seeing right now with the emerging use of AI, this transparency is something that we need. Also, we need to make sure and train our AI experts that we need to monitor the AI bias. There's a thing called AI bias, and it's that when we ask the AI bot, for example, Claude or GPT, about any topic, it is gonna research the web and give us an answer, and that answer could be biased, right? Because everyone has their favorites. So AI has a favorite too, based on their algorithms, which are secrets, but they could have their favorites. So how could you remove their biases? By manually going over the responses of those answers. So making sure that there is bias monitoring while using AI. And the last thing I always say when it comes to ethics and AI is that never share personal information of anyone, of your customer, of your employees, of anybody on AI, because that goes into the web and then it could be reused. So always be anonymous. That is very important.
Yeah, I think that's such an excellent point, and a point that a lot of companies neglect, unfortunately, sometimes. And I think that's, you know, even especially more important for highly regulated industries like financial services or healthcare. So yeah, it's definitely a good point to consider.
Yeah, and in healthcare, And in healthcare, there are more highly regulated environments. So the people working in those environments needs to get a specialized training when it comes to AI. And I'm sure that governments are working on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, you don't want to be inputting confidential patient information into ChatGPT, because that's going to just, you know, face even more issues with HIPAA and whatnot. So aside from, you know, those kind of challenges, what are some of the biggest challenges you've seen companies face when they're trying to actually implement AI, and how do you help them overcome those roadblocks?
Challenges. So yes, so when companies, they wish to implement AI, first of all, the biggest challenges I feel and I see that practically is that they don't have a trained staff. They wish to implement AI. They wish to adapt those shiny tools, make their work processes faster, but they don't have a trained staff. If they have a staff, they don't have enough training. That is the number one challenge they have. The other thing is that finding, researching, and selecting the right tools. Because right now, for one task, we have multiple tools available in the market. Every tool have different features, almost the same, but they come with different variations. So you have to pick the right features, right pricing, the right integrating options, because you need to pick a tool that is integratable with your current CRM, your other tools that you are using right now. So you should have a sense of the entire ecosystem that you have, like which tools will help you obtain or help you gain your company goals, right? Also, there is a challenge that company needs to have their major company goal at the forefront of their vision while they're in the process of implementing AI, so that they can pick the right tools when it comes to expanding their tech abilities. So their tech tool is aligned with their actual business goals.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, there's so many different AI tools out there these days, and it's so important to, you know, focus on what's going to help your business and what's applicable to your industry.
Yeah, and the answer to all of these issues and challenges is research. and training and going to workshops, talking to people, kind of like researching on used case studies, learning what your competitors are doing, what ROI gain have they achieved while using a certain tool. So it's all about research.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely comes down to research and, you know, understanding what's applicable for your industry, how your, like you said, competitors, what they're doing, et cetera. So good points there. For someone that's in, you know, we kind of mentioned healthcare a little bit earlier. So for someone who's in a more traditional industry like healthcare or even real estate, what's the first step that they should take to explore AI use strategically?
Okay, so we are trying to nail down to a specific industry right now. So let's say real estate, right? If somebody is a realtor and they want to implement AI, so first of all, what they need to do is they need to map their inefficiencies. They need to self-analyze. They need to self-evaluate where they can improve, what are they doing wrong, what are their bottlenecks, and what's taking the most time in their day-to-day. Are their agents writing emails, the same emails again and again? Are they spending hours in writing those emails that could be automated? Where can automation come in and save them time? Are they handling the same repetitive client questions over and over again? Because like homeowners, home buyers or renters, I'm sure that they would have the same questions. Like how many bathroom and bedrooms would a 2,500 a square foot house commonly have? That's just on top of my head right now, right? So based on their research and past experiences, they should map out a list of questions which are commonly asked, and they can reevaluate their current processes and they can automate them and then search which tool they can implement to make this process faster. And that's where AI shines, right? So I have an example for our dental client. So what they did was that they used AI to remind patients of their appointments and answer pre-surgery FAQs. Because like whenever somebody had to come in to an appointment, their questions would be the same. So they thought that because the questions are always the same, like, is it going to be painful? How long the appointment is going to be? What are going to be the SOPs of the appointment? So they list down those questions and automated that email. One day before the appointment, that email went out. So it was simple and compliant and saved them hours every week. So that's how you use AI in your email campaigns. That's an excellent example for these SMBs to use AI.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, I'm sure that dental clinic sees a lot of patients day to day, and the fact that they now have, you know, AI to help answer those frequently asked questions and send those appointment reminders, I'm sure that reduces the burden of work on their support staff for sure. So let's talk about global innovation, because it's something you speak about and write about pretty often. How do regional differences affect how AI is being adopted or regulated?
Yeah, so I've talked about this a few times before as well. So I am from South Asia as well. I was born and raised in Pakistan. So my initial education till MBA is from there. And then I did my PhD from America. So I've seen both parts of the world. I've had some jobs over there in Pakistan, then I have worked for more than 10 years in America and multinational companies. So I've experienced both these areas, and I have some understanding that how regulations can change geographically. Mm-hmm. So these adoptions in AI, they depend on the digital maturity, right? For example, in America, in the US, companies, startups, they adapt very fast, but the regulation is still catching up, right? But in the European Union, you can see that you have the GDPR and the EU AI Act, with the that came in, I think, March 2024. That was very early as compared to how AI was coming along. They really acted fast, and they like created guardrails very early. So some areas in the world are acting fast. They are coming up with regulations fast. So in my part of the world, in India, Pakistan, that part of the world, AI adoption is fast in education and marketing, but the infrastructure is a challenge, I would say. So what needs to be done is that we need to educate people from the ground up and build that solid infrastructure in those parts of the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. Everyone's kind of, you know, at different stages of AI, you know, infrastructure, guardrails, innovation. Like, I remember it was probably multiple years ago now that the EU framework came out for, you know, ethical and safe and regulated AI usage. Yep. And it's, I don't even think the United States has put anything.
We don't have anything.
Yeah, exactly. And crazy.
And I was going over the EU AI Act, and they have like a 6 levels of security risks in AI, like on social media and on the web is different, and on the TV is different. So they have categorized different levels of AI usage, and there are high level of fines if you do not follow the rules.
Wow. Yeah. Hopefully one day the United States catches up, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen anytime soon. So let's talk about entrepreneurship, because you are an entrepreneur. What lessons have you learned from building and advising startups that are trying to integrate emerging technologies?
So lesson number one, don't chase every shining object. Not every shooting star is going to take you to the skies, right? That is rule number one. Then test one thing at a time. Don't try to test multiple tools at the same time, trying to bring in 10 people with 20 AI technology at the same time and trying to become the AI unicorn overnight. That's not going to happen. That might confuse your AI vision and get everything confused and disrupted. So you have to build feedback loops. You have to create case studies, implement AI one by one. You have to treat technology as human, interact with it, get feedback, and then move forward, right? And use case studies. Learn from your competitors. So startups, as you asked, I think not every startup owner should have this mindset that I'm going to be the next unicorn. They should work on what problem I'm going to be solving. So also they need to develop that culture in the startup from day one, that we have to develop a culture that adapts AI and high tech. So that vision needs to be from the start, day one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's, paramount these days that, if you're starting a business, you are going to lag behind if you're not adopting the latest in emerging technology for sure, especially AI.
And honestly, I've seen startups collapse not because their tech failed, but because they didn't align the team on the vision. So build that culture that is very important these days.
Yeah, I agree. The whole team needs to be looped in on the mission and the vision and, the overarching business goals for sure. If
Definitely.
you had to bet on one AI trend that will define the next 5 years, I know that's a big question, but what do you think it would be and why?
Oh, well, that's the question I've been asked a lot of time, and I always answered this: personal AI agents, and that blows my mind. So tools like Auto GPT and the Chat GPT agents, they're just a start. It's just the beginning. So this thing is going to go very far. Imagine that we're going to have our own AI assistants, bots, a human working under us that understands our tone, our calendar, our goals, that can work on behalf of us, that can negotiate deals for us. And it's going to change how we work. It's going to change how we hire people. It's going to change our day-to-day decision making. And it's going to be awesome. So personal AI agents, that's one thing I think in the next 5 years, it's going to get more common. People are going to get more used to it, and it's going to change the way we work.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've seen a lot of reports, and just like, yeah, trends aligning with that train of thought. So I think you're exactly right. And I definitely see AI being more like your personal sidekick and something you leverage for everyday life, and that personal assistants are kind of, going to drift away for tasks that, digital tasks. I agree with that. So you mentor founders and young professionals. What advice would you give to someone who wants to work in the AI space, but they don't necessarily have a technical background?
So first, if you don't have a technical background, you need to have some sort of technical background. So start creating your bases, right? But start with curiosity, not with a code. Like, don't right jump into the ocean of that high-tech stuff, right? Start learning from use cases. You have to play around with the tools. If you don't have to have the capacity to buy tools, there are tons of free version out there. You can sign up for them for a weekly trial. There are YouTube trials. There are courses people are offering on Udemy. Learn using these tools, right? Follow the trends, what's happening. Subscribe to the expert email newsletters. And even people like me, I learn from the experts every day. I watch their videos, I attend their monthly, weekly webinars. I email them, they answer me back. I talk to my peers. So it's a constant learning process. So we have to be constantly showing interest and trying to find the right info wherever we can. So have that hunger in you. I think that's the advice I would give. And don't just jump into the high-tech ocean straight away. Start from zero and then build your way up.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And there are a plethora of AI tools out there that do similar things. Unmiss even has its own AI tool. Obviously, there's ChatGPT, Claude, Jasper. A lot of those offer free
Surfer
AI.
SEO, yeah.
Yeah,
So many,
and
yeah.
no, yeah. So it's good for people to test them out, the free tools, and see which one you like best before committing to those to paid spend on those tools.
Yeah, and I always advise my mentees that what you can do is that you can pick a small problem that they think that they care about and start figuring out how AI can help it solve that problem. Start researching on it. Start seeing that has anybody else worked on it before? Has any other company done any work on that before? So their research is going to be their learning tool. That's how people learn.
Yep. Completely agree. Ali, what, you know, inspires you outside of work? Are there any, you know, books or thinkers or experiences that have shaped how you approach tech and leadership?
Well, I get inspiration from long walks. I get inspiration from my kids, as I'm a father of four. I read. I try to learn from the people who are experts in the field. So my inspiration is my curiosity and the need, right? Because right now the need is that because this space is evolving so fast, like you can't keep up with it. Like there's so many versions of every tool launching every week, every day, like version 3.6.0, version 9.3.6. Like how do you keep up with it? This is going up too fast. So it's a requirement for people in the field like me. So it's kind of like you eat food. You have to eat food because you're hungry. So you have to be hungry for this. And once you love what you do, this hunger comes to you naturally, and that inspires me to do what I do.
Yeah, that's so well put. I feel like, yes, your like curiosity and, you know, your passion for AI in general is, you know, your inspiration and motivation to keep learning and keep evolving. And then, yeah, your kids and outside life too contribute to that, which is amazing. Well, Ali, this has been such a insight. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just trying to say that, like, so my kids are like 6, 7, 9, and 4. So I'm trying to introduce them to these AI tools right now at a very starting stage, because I know when they're going to be teenagers and they're going to go into the job market or the entrepreneurial world, this thing is going to be giant. Right. So they need to have their basics set up. They need to have this skill set right now. The future economy is the skill of economy. It's not going to be the education economy. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the experience economy. It's going to be the skill economy. If you have a skill, you can win in any field you are. And I feel that this AI skill can dominate and help you dominate in any field you are, whether you are in biochemistry, you are in aerospace, you are in mathematics, you are in marketing, whatever you do, if you have your hands dirty in AI, this will help you go very far.
Absolutely, and I love that. I think that's such a great idea that you're teaching all four of your kids, even the youngest one, about AI and, you know, educating them and getting them on board early. I think it's going to really benefit them in the future.
Yep. And they're taking it as a game, and I'm happy that they're excited about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, this has been such a great and insightful conversation. We've really covered a lot, and I think that our audience will find this conversation to be extremely valuable and you know, clearly think more about AI and innovation. Where can our listeners go and connect with you, read about your work, or learn more about what you have to offer?
Yes. First of all, thank you, Chelsea. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And to everyone listening this amazing podcast, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. It's linkedin.com/AliJafarZia. And you can also find me at alijafarzia.com and learn about my work and the recent work that I've done. I also post articles and blogs on Medium as well. So feel free to connect with me on social media. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. I'm everywhere on the web. Just find me. You will find me. Just do Google.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And to our audience, if you're enjoying these episodes, feel free to go ahead and hit the subscribe button, leave us a review, and don't forget to check out Unmissit's free website audit tool and our AI tools to discover smart opportunities for digital growth. This has been the Unmissit podcast, and we will see you all next time. Thank you again, Dr. Ali.
Thank you so much, Elsie. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.